You can now hear the rebroadcast of some of your favorite live programs on KNEL Podcast. KNEL has a variety of podcasts to choose from, including news, sports, talk radio, faith, and inspiration. For a list of KNEL podcasts, visit KNEL Radio homepage and look for podcast. Click on the podcast of your choice and listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio News, KNEL Sports, Hillbilly Hits, At Home with Debbie Rule, and The Network Live. KNEL making a difference with podcasts just for you.
And on Facebook Live. Tonight, I'm Lynn Ferris from KNEL Radio. Good to have you with us this evening. Tonight is a candidate forum for the two candidates for place one on the Brady City Council in the local election to be held on May 4th. And the early voting begins for the election next Monday. So and we'll have a week of that. Tonight, we'll hear from the two candidates, Chris Martin and Terry Phillips, and each will have an opportunity to tell you who they are, why they're running, why they think that they deserve your vote, and also an opportunity for us to take some questions from the audience. And so for those in the audience who want to ask questions, we have some cards over on the table where you can fill out the question and turn it in to me, and I'll ask them when we get finished. Both candidates will have an opportunity to speak. When they're finished with their comments, we will take the questions from the audience and go from there. And after that, we will also take the opportunity to hear from Larry Land, who is the outgoing city councilman for Place One. He has an opportunity to wish his followers and well-wishers the best. And also Tony Groves will have a couple of comments about the charter review. In addition to city council, Place One, we'll have a number of issues on the ballot, proposals to amend the charter, city charter, and Tony has asked to have the opportunity to speak about those. And so those are going to be on the ballot. We'll talk about that as well. We'll start off first by a reminder that the election will be on May 4th. The early voting starts on next Monday, and early voting at Brady City Hall. And first up this evening will be Chris Martin. I have the opportunity to speak first this evening. Candidate for Brady City Council, Place One.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Chris Martin. I'm running for City Council, Place One. First of all, thanks to everybody for showing up, and y'all are watching on Facebook or listening live on KNEL. Thank y'all for listening, and thanks to KNEL for putting this on tonight. As the saying goes, I'm not a native to Brady, but I got here as fast as I could. My parents, Bill and Linda Martin, moved here in 1986 when I was in middle school. I was just 12 years old back then, and went to middle school at Brady Middle School and graduated from Brady High School, where I was an FBBB member, graduated in 1991. And like many others after graduation, decided to pursue my career and family aspirations. And after finding myself, I pursued a career in marketing in the technology sector in 1998. My career survived the dot-com boom and bust of the early 2000s. I spent the next 20 years developing and refining my marketing, operations, and technology skills. Today, I am remotely managing marketing operations for a company called MacroFab. They're based out of Houston with about 200 employees and an annual revenue of about $30 million a year. My wife, Melissa, and I are proud parents of four kids, two boys, two girls. Our three big kids, as we call them, are growing and pursuing their own dreams and goals in a different city, in different cities across Texas. Our youngest daughter is in fourth grade. She's sitting right over there. In 2020, a decision was made to bring family back to Brady, where it was driven by the desire to provide our daughter with the unique values that only Brady could provide. Returned home, we shortly lived in the apartment, but I think it lasted for like 3 months while we were looking for a home, and then found a home in I think it was March of 2021 is when we signed the papers and begin the renovation process. When we moved here, one of the things that I noticed that was different than what it was when I lived here as a child was I noticed all the vacancies downtown. Lots of vacancies. Growing up here, we had a lot of different stores down there, and I noticed all the papered up buildings or empty buildings and even dilapidated buildings. And it was kind of sad to see for someone who grew up here to see all that gone. So I got motivated to get involved somehow in the city. What I wanted to do was come in, find a place, maybe on a board somewhere, and start working towards what can we do to bring Brady back to where at least ground zero. So that revitalization motivation, I became a member of the Brady Economic Development Corporation here. Also became a member of the city charter committee. And after witnessing some positive changes through both, after a while, I decided, you know what? I think I want to take it a little bit further. I think I want to run for city council. So with that in mind, here's some of the things I'd like to talk about why I'm running, other than what I obviously just stated. The community development, it's crucial to promote economic growth in Brady and enhance the quality of life in Brady. This means attracting businesses, supporting local entrepreneurs, revitalizing the downtown areas, and implementing programs that benefit all of the residents. The infrastructure and development and maintenance, we've got to prioritize the planning, construction, maintenance, and the essential infrastructure such as the roads, utilities, our parks, and all of our public buildings, and our first responders. These projects should align with community needs and our available resources. Those are the main areas of focuses that I have. I have some other areas too, but those are the main items that I see that I'd like to address as your councilman in Brady. So let me give you a little background on myself as far as my experience is concerned. So I've got 25 years of plus marketing and revenue operations in the technology and manufacturing sector. I'm also a small business owner here in Brady. Many may not know that. I own a web development and marketing operations company, serving some Brady clients as well. I help businesses, both small and large, with getting customers in the door. Those are called leads, and then it's up to the rest of them to take those leads and generate sales from that. I'm really good at bringing people in and getting them in the door. So those are the experiences that I've got right now. The priorities, like I said, I mentioned the community development and infrastructure and maintenance. Those are the main drivers for my run for councilman. So that's what I have for you this evening. I appreciate your questions that I'm getting ready to answer. So I'm looking forward to that. And thanks to everyone again for coming out tonight. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Chris. Next up, Terry Phillips.
Well, I, as Chris did, welcome all of you. Thank you for coming out tonight. We live busy lives today, don't we? It's hard to find time to do things, even in Brady, Texas. So thank you for coming out. And K&L Radio and Debbie and the staff, we really appreciate the job y'all do here. I gave him a byline to start using for the radio when I first came to Brady, and I said, after listening to the station, I said, you should say KNEL Radio, the station that says a lot for the heart of Texas. And I have yet to hear that, so I guess I don't have any royalty income coming at this point. But anyway, it really is a great station. So my story is a little bit different than Chris's, and I wasn't going to share exactly how I ended up coming here, but I think I will tonight. I was on my way. So first of all, I retired in December of 22, and I was on my way to officiate a wedding for my niece in Smithville. My brother's daughter was getting married, and she asked me if I would marry her and her fiance. So I agreed to do that. And my plan when I retired was to buy a 40-foot plus travel trailer, a toy hauler, drive my Indian motorcycle back into the back of it. And my wife and I, Linda and I, were going to travel all over the U.S., seeing the sights of the country and enjoying our retirement. She's a therapist, and so she could do her therapy sessions on Zoom and with Wi-Fi. You know, she could still work if she wanted to. And I would be out riding my motorcycle getting therapy that way. So as I came around the corner to turn on to South 87, for the very first time in my life, I've been a Christian for many, many years. And God has spoken to me many ways, but he had never spoken to me in an audible voice until that day at that moment. And I heard him clearly say into my ear, "Terry, I am preparing you for this to become your new place of dwelling." Now, listen, I've been through Brady many, many times on my way to someplace else. And I've always liked Brady. I always thought it was a really pretty little town, you know, a little small hill country town. But I never thought I would be living here. So I was pretty overtaken by that. And over the next few days, my wife and I discussed it. I told her we weren't going to buy the trailer and we were going to move to Brady. And I know she went, "Brady, Texas, travel trailer. Brady, Texas, trailer." And she was trying to decide which was the better of the two choices. And she agreed with me that Brady would be the ideal place to retire. So I, even though I don't work anymore, I'm still an investor. I have investments. I invest in people and business. So I'm still working. I'll probably never quit working, but I don't punch the time clock anymore. I had retired from the, I've been working for over 55 years in upper management, but I'm just going to talk about the last 20 years. So 20 years ago, I went to work for a company called Hilliard Energy. And Hilliard Energy was a pretty major oil and gas company in Midland, Texas. And the man that owned it, Brent Hilliard, was one of my best friends. So he hired me to become a landman. He trained me how to be a landman. And I just went into the courthouses where we were going to do an oil and gas play or a renewable energy play or a transmission line or a water pipeline. I would go into the courthouse. I would run the records from 1888 forward to current date so we could know who we needed to present the leases to. And so I did that. And in about 4 years, I worked from being a landman to a director in the company. And 2 years later, I was promoted to a vice president of the company. And 6 years ago, I was promoted to the senior vice president of the company. So I really was a rags to riches person in that company. About 10 or 15 years ago, he moved me over more to the renewable energy side, and I began to develop wind and solar utility-grade projects all over the United States, in Canada. And then in 2015, I went to India for 3 years, and I did that in India. Linda did not go with me. She did not see the joy of being in India. So I went by myself. It was a wonderful time, and I learned a lot from the people over there. So here we are now. I feel led to move to Brady, and I just feel like it was a divine appointment that day. So contacted a realtor, and my realtors are sitting here tonight with me, and said, we want to move here, and we'd like to find a nice place. And, you know, there's pretty limited inventory in Brady of just about any kind of house is for sale, particularly in the quality of house that we were looking for. But they found the right house for us, and 3 months almost to the day, well, actually a little over 2 months from the day that I felt like I was being told to move to Brady, we bought a house, and we've been here ever since. I love Brady, Texas. There's something about this town that's different. It's just got a group of people in it that have the pioneer spirit. You know, I grew up farming and ranching, and my family settled in Howard County, Glasscock County, and Martin County in the late 1800s. And my dad taught me when I was 10 years old about how there's a pioneer spirit. Well, I always thought for a while that that was somebody that died in a covered wagon and his spirit roamed the prairie, you know. But the pioneer spirit is when your neighbor's barn burns down or he breaks his leg and he can't get his crop in. And the people come together and they do things for each other to help them get through that time. And I see that specifically in Hope from the Heart. I got involved in that this year, and I love the fact that people of Brady and McCullough County come together, they raise money, and they do things for people that live in Brady and McCullough County. Instead of sending that money off to some national organization, where only maybe 5 or 10% of it comes back to our community. That's how I live. That's how I operate. Then in June, I felt led to start going to the city council meetings. I felt like it was important for me to feel the heartbeat of this town. What makes it tick? What are the problems that it faces? What are the assets that it has that could be built on? Because I, like you all, have driven around town. I see all the abandoned, dilapidated buildings, the houses, the yards that are not being kept up. You know, I see that, and it hurts my heart to see a town that used to have such sparkle. It's kind of lost its sparkle, and I think we can fix that. It's going to be hard work, and it's not going to happen overnight, but I think there are people starting to come together on the council that can help move the city in the right directions and start giving the kind of service to the customers of the city of Brady, which are the taxpayers. Brady is a business. The taxpayers are the customers, and we need to do a better job in representing the taxpayers of this community, and I think we can do that. It takes communication. It takes getting out, knocking on doors, and listening to people. It takes answering your phone when somebody calls and says, I have a problem, and I can't get any help. Can you help me with it? And the answer is, well, I'll do my best to help you with it. I may not can solve it for you, but we'll find a way to at least make it better than what you have right now. So in my career, the reason I feel like I'm the right person for this position on the council is because the council is the judiciary, the legislative branch, and the fiduciary branch of the city. All of the direction that the city of Midland gets is from its council. And there are people that want to run for council, and I'm not speaking of Chris here at all, but I know in Midland there was a lady that was very well known, and she raised her children in Midland, and she wanted to run for city council. But she didn't have any ability from a business perspective to really help the city. She was popular and people knew her, but she didn't understand contract law. She didn't understand HR issues. She didn't understand the negotiations with companies that are trying to sell us some equipment for the sanitation area out there. And so she would end up just listening to whoever the strongest voice was on the council, who might not also have that same ability to make those right decisions for the city. I have that ability. I have that expertise and that background. I have developed probably 30 multi-million dollar energy projects, both oil and gas and renewable. I've managed several hundred employees. I think at the highest we had 500 employees. I've worked for Fortune 500 companies, and I've worked for mom and pops. I also was the second oldest internet provider in the state of Texas. Me and three other guys started a company called Internet Global. AOL came right after us. Earthlink was right before us. We took that company and sold it, took it public and sold it. I've served on many, many nonprofit boards over the years, the Multiple Sclerosis Society, MARC, which was the Midland Association for Retarded Citizens. I've served on a women and children's battered place called Safe Place in Midland. And I came to Brady with the same idea that I could pour myself into this community with my money, my resources, my time, my energy, in my experience. And since then, I've joined the Rotary Club, and I serve there. I love the club. I'm on a couple of nonprofit boards already, the Midland McCullough County Resource Center. I'm very involved in our church, Redeemer, and the people there have embraced us and loved on us. In a year's time, a little over a year, we feel like we've lived here our whole life. I know so many more people here than I even knew in Midland, and been in Midland for many years. It's an exciting time. I'm going to leave you with this. Our nation, our state, and our cities are facing very serious times. We're not living in the same world that we grew up in, none of us. And if we don't step up, the right people don't step up and start taking control and doing the right things and making the right decisions for our cities, our state, and our country, we're going to be in even worse shape than we are now. I hope that you'll see in me that I'm that right person, and I'll do my best to listen to every voice in this city. I'm not beholden to anybody because I didn't grow up here, I've taken no money from anybody, and I can come in with a fresh idea, a fresh start, and lead this town, help lead this town to a place where we get our sparkle back. And I appreciate your attention. Thank you.
Well, we do have some questions, not a lot. We got three very good questions from the audience that were turned in here. So we'll start right off, and we'll start off with Chris. You were first, so we'll give you the opportunity with the first question. And that is basically, what is your vision for Brady going forward? And I ask the same thing for Terry after you're finished.
Kind of funny because I put that in, some of y'all may have seen my Facebook ad running across on your screen somewhere. My vision for Brady is right there. So there's six different points I'd like to make on that. Economic diversification is the first one. We're going to diversify our local economy. It means building resilience. Let's explore new industries. We lost the sand plant. If we take a hit on it, we probably took a pretty good hit on it. But we need to diversify that so we don't put all of our eggs in one basket. If we decide to bring new business to Brady, we need to diversify that a little bit more and or supplement that with other industries in Brady. We need to be able to support local businesses and attract investments to create a viable and sustainable future. Population growth. I was pulling up some stats on the internet a while ago, and just kind of browsing some things. Brady is supposed to, by 2027, supposed to dip below the 5,000 population based on the current growth model that's happening right now. So we have to attract the residents, number one. We have to attract businesses to come here, entice the younger generation to move to Brady and make it their home as well, and entrepreneurs to come into town to make investments here and create, as far as the council, create an environment without a lot of red tape to let them do that. We have to set the stage as the council, I believe, to make it one of those environments that entrepreneurs can come to Brady and feel comfortable making that investment. Employment opportunities. Let's work towards a diversified job opportunities for our residents. By supporting local businesses and attracting new ventures, we can ensure a stable employment and foster economic growth. Brady relies heavily on the service industry right now. I'd like to see that grow into something else to where we see a little bit more of a retail. We see more, maybe even wholesale. We could see people like myself who don't necessarily work in Brady that are remote workers that come to Brady and say, hey, I want to make this my home. I can work anywhere. Anywhere in the state of Texas, I can work. One of my, the chief revenue officer of the company I work for lives in Chicago. Our company is based out of Houston. I chose Brady. Why can't we choose to bring more people that are remote workers into Brady? I think that would make a lot of sense. Great lake, great golf course, great parks, great swimming pool, lots of things to do for the kids around here, and we could probably do more when we bring those remote workers in as well. The infrastructure, upgrade our infrastructure is key to unlocking some possibilities. I see fiber coming up all around town. That's part of our infrastructure. That's wonderful news because now I'm getting even faster speeds and my Zoom meetings don't lock up as much as they used to anymore, which is wonderful news. So infrastructure like the roads, and then our water, of course, is coming online soon. So I think we're, you know, as I keep mentioning, is that we've got a really, really good momentum going. And I just want to make sure that Brady keeps that momentum going. That's why I want to run for council. The final two are downtown revitalization. our downtown is the heart of Brady. I want to help get that ball rolling to where we can enable people to revitalize it. Finally, the community engagement. It's the most important, I think, out of all of this. I saw over the course of the last couple of years of coming to council meetings, I've seen really rooms of this size, crowds this size at council meetings, and I've seen it maybe where there's three or four people that show up to council meetings. We've got to get the community more involved. I hear a lot of chatter on social media about Brady needs this and Brady needs that. I would love to invite the citizens of Brady to come to the council meetings and be a part of that. Be a part of the community. Voice your concerns. Talk to your councilmen or council people, because we have Missy on there, and I don't want to leave her out. But voice your concerns to your council people and be a part of that decision-making process. So those are my visions for Brady.
I'm going to start off by telling you that I am a visionary, and I've spent my whole life like that. I know how to take a vision and bring it to a reality. So here are some of the visions I have for Brady. I want to also revitalize downtown. In fact, I'm looking at two of the buildings down there right now to purchase and create some kind of retail space, just to lease them out, make the rent low enough that somebody could come in and do a dress store or a little cafe or some retail space. I recently bought the building at 2018 South Bridge, which was originally the quilt shop. You probably remember when that was the quilt shop, and then Black Plumbing had it. I had an opportunity to buy it in January, and I haven't really known what I was going to do with it, because I don't want to work. I want to be able to be free to do the things that I want to do without having to punch that time card. And I think what I'm going to end up doing with it is I'm going to make it into a free event center. So if the city wants to have a daughter-daddy dance or a mother-son dance or a quinceanera or some event, or if a church wants to rent it and have their services there, much like, you know, Debbie and her husband do here at this building, and make it available to them at no charge. I don't need to make money on it. I just want to do something for the city to help it grow and help it to have a better quality of life. I also serve on the Economic Development Corporation with Chris. I'm just newly put on that board. And I have some really great ideas of how to bring some businesses to Brady. I worked closely with the Midland Development Corporation, which was chaired by Brent Hillier, who was my employer for all those years. And, you know, they brought things to Midland, like the spaceport. We're not going to bring a spaceport here. If we brought something big like that, we couldn't handle the infrastructure anyway. We don't have enough houses to put them in. We don't have enough water pressure to accommodate all of their homes. We don't have a lot of stuff. But I do believe that we can bring smaller businesses that can hire 5, 10, 15 people, you know, and bring them in and create and have the infrastructure that they need in order to bring their people here. And the water is a huge deal here. And I'm so thankful to Mayor Garcia and the council for really pressing in and getting that radon issue taken care of. We're almost there. And the council will still have work to do. We still have construction to do, but I want to see that get done. I want to see us have more jobs. I want to see us do something with the homeless population that we have. It's growing in this town. And with that is coming a lot of drug problems. I talked to the chief of police the other day, and I told him that in the next month or two, I wanted to start riding with his officers to see firsthand what these officers are dealing with on a daily basis, both during the day and at night. I've met with the fire department, and I've talked to them about their issues and their problems. And we've been dealing for, I don't know how many years, probably 15 years, on a new fire station. And we've probably spent $30,000 on on drawings and renderings. It's time to get this thing put to bed and get it done. You know, our firemen are working in a 100-year-old building that's got asbestos in it. It leaks like crazy. You know, it's hard on morale. They need a place. It's not a Taj Mahal, but it's a place where they can they can work and do their job and be safe at it. So there's many things I want to do. I want to see the G. Raleigh Wine Complex. I want to see something happen with that. My personal opinion is the city of Brady doesn't need to own that. It needs to be owned by private sector. With private money that could go in there and we can start having stock shows, junior stock shows, rodeos, fairs, concerts, and bring other people's money that they would spend somewhere else and bring it to Brady and spend it. Because we only have five ways to raise money, right? Taxes, fees, fines, licenses, and permits. Taxes is a big part of it. I don't want to see us raise taxes. But listen, our expenses are going up every year. And we ended up, the council's done an outstanding job in the last few years of getting this budget balanced, and we actually ended up with an excess this time. That's fantastic. So those are the things that I have a vision about. And I want to see the golf course into a position where it can make money for the city. Right now, it's a beautiful little golf course. It doesn't make any money. It's just an albatross on the city's neck, in my opinion. But I think that we could get that turned around. And I've started putting little groups of men and women together from the golf course, from the airport, from the G. Raleigh White Foundation, and getting them to advise me on the things that they have a vision for about those entities and how we can move that forward. So vision, I have a lot of vision. I have more vision than I could take time to talk to you about here tonight. But, you know, I need that first step of getting on the council so I can help do that. That's my vision for Brady. I hope you'll join me with it, and let's get it going. Let's get the sparkle back and move Brady forward.
We do have some more questions. They're all basically pretty good questions, and almost pretty much along the same line. The next question is, recently a local business announced that they are relocating to a nearby town, and the reason given was, quote, locals don't support local business. What's your response to that comment? We'll start with you, Terry, since this
Well, you know, Robert Simmons is the one that owns that business over there, and I feel really bad for Robert. He's got a great little store. It's a really pretty building. It sits a little bit off the road too much, in my opinion. If it didn't, I'd buy it if he moves out of it, because I like that building. But he's right. We live in a world today where people buy their groceries on Amazon and get them delivered the next day. It just blows me away. I don't understand it. You don't save that much money by driving to Brownwood to go to HEB when you could buy at Lowe's or Walmart here and support our local businesses. We've got to re-educate people that when you're taking your money somewhere else, you're hurting not just the town, you're hurting yourself as well. Because the quality of life that you expect from Brady, Texas, is dependent upon the tax base and the ways that we can bring money into the community. And taking your money out of town is not the solution. And if you're listening tonight and you're guilty of that, please revisit the way you do your business. If there's something in town, listen, I buy things in town here all the time that I could go to San Angelo or Brownwood and save money on, and I could have a meal over there at a restaurant that we don't have here. But why would I ever do that if I'm wanting to support this community? Why would I ever go over there and spend my money there when there's somebody here that has the same thing I need, even if it's a little bit more? You know, we take care of our family first. Until we start seeing Brady as our family, we're going to continue to do those kind of things. So buy locally. That's my take on it.
Saw that announcement a couple of months ago in one of the feeds on social media. I spent a lot of time on there just to kind of get a pulse on what's happening in Brady. A little disheartening to see somebody bail out and go to a neighboring town. But at the same time, as a business owner, you have to make those decisions to do what's best for your family. It's understandable. But as far as I, I'm concerned, you know, here's what I think. You know, if we look at what happened to downtown Brady over the course of the last 30 years, you know, Ben Franklin, Lentz, we had a couple of Boot and Western stores that we had here in town. You know, you could typically go out and get the clothing that you needed or supplies that you needed without really having to drive to Brownwood or at Angelo, for that matter. Why did that fail? Why did all of those businesses close down? Why are we seeing the empty spaces that we're seeing? Why are businesses moving to places like San Saba to hopefully do better economically than what they were doing here in Brady? The truth of the matter is that, you know, Brady does not have the economic development in order to sustain a lot of these types of businesses. We've got to encourage people to bring in younger generations of people who are going to be able to sustain those types of businesses. Right now, Brady is basically a retirement community, not a lot of recreation going on. So what can we do to do that? We have to do a little turn on bringing in more people, the younger generations in. They're taking these new jobs that, like I said, I mentioned before, remote work is one of those aspects that can sit there, and they have the income, that disposable income, which is what that business is how you spend disposable income. So have the disposable income that can buy those sorts of things. In Brady, you can buy the necessities. You can go to Walmart. You can buy groceries. You can go to Lowe's and buy groceries. You can go to Walmart and buy basic clothing there. But if you want to buy anything else that you would normally get at a retail store like Cavender's or any other place like that, you have to go out of town to do it. If you want a restaurant where you can sit outside in the evening and enjoy a nice glass of wine and a steak, and outside and hear guitars playing, where do you go? Fredericksburg. We need to encourage entrepreneurs to invest in Brady. And as city council, we need to set that stage and enable those businesses to come to Brady.
You basically touched on one of the other questions, and that was the question is, you know, Brady has a reputation as a retirement community. And so what can the city council do to combat that and bring younger folks here while also drawing in retirees? Now, that's what you were talking about. If you want to add to that,
sure.
Fine. And then give Terry the opportunity to also address that.
Absolutely. Question.
Absolutely.
So as far as Brady being labeled as a retirement community, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with Brady being labeled a retirement community. There's several retirement communities out here in the edge of the Hill Country and in the Hill Country area. But what we're not doing is recruiting. We're not recruiting. We got to take a really good, hard look at how we are recruiting people into Brady, how we're bringing them into Brady. We need to strengthen our online presence to those and market to those that are younger. It's, you know, we have the amenities here. We have an awesome lake, great parks, great places to visit and run and exercise and all these amenities that we have in Brady. But we're not recruiting. And I think we need to take a really good hard look at and work closely with the chamber and the EDC to be able to have that relationship where we're talking, all three are talking to one another, and each of those branches enable one another to be able to draw those businesses and that younger crowd into Brady. This is so important. I mentioned it a while ago. You know, Brady's set to dive below the 5,000 population mark in just a few short years. What happens to those businesses that are already here and decide that they can no longer sustain? Is Brady going to become an Eden? And that, if you look at Eden, that's what's happened over the course of the last 20 years. Lost a car dealership, they couldn't sustain it. Lost a Sonic, they couldn't sustain it. I'm not sounding the warning bell, but what I'm saying is that we need to really think long and hard about how we are recruiting here in Brady, about bringing people into town and inviting them in and let them call Brady home just like our family does.
Can you repeat the question just a little bit? I'll make sure I...
Yeah, the question is, Brady has a reputation as a retirement community. How can the city council, what can the city council do to combat that and keep younger folks here while also drawing in retirees?
Okay. Well, first of all, retirement's not a dirty word. That's what brought us here. And, you know, I've done my very best to invest here. And I think other people that when they retire, they have some resources that they can invest, their time, their money, their energies, their wisdom, and their expertise. But it is a catch-22. It is a chicken-and-the-egg scenario. And I agree with Chris. We need to do something for our kids. Now, Linda and I raised 5 kids, and we have 13 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. And we're not even 100 years old yet. And so you have to provide something for the kids to do, because if the kids aren't happy, the kids choose where the parents are going to go to church. The kids are going to be a part of whether they stay in a town when they come here. So we've got to figure out a way to create some avenues for them to have fun, whether it's a miniature golf course or whether it's a skate park. You know, these are things that we could do, and along with the Economic Development Corporation, we have money that we can bring people in and help them get started, you know. And I think we're off to a great start there, Chris. I think you'd agree with me. The EDC is doing a really good job. There's some other things that are going to be announced in the short term that everybody will be excited to hear about. But we've got to do something for the kids, because if we don't, then, you know, the retirees will still keep coming, which will put a lot of pressure on our hospital, you know. So we need something to do to bring families in, provide jobs for those that come in with small children, and give them a quality of life that they, you know, that they had before they moved here. And I think we do have to market our city better than we've been marketing it. And I think the Chamber's doing a good job. They have new leadership down there with Daniel Mendoza, and he does a fantastic job. And I think he's only going to continue to grow. And we've got a great board of directors down there now. And we've got some strong people on the EDC board and the airport board and the other boards that are all part of the Chamber. A lot of brain power is coming together to try to find viable ways to increase the income for the city, to bring people in that they can have the quality of life that they're used to having. They can find a house to live in that's similar to the house they moved out of to come to Brady. It's just a long haul to get it done, but every day is a new day, and we start every day thinking about new ways, new concepts, new ideas to do that. And that's how we change Brady from being just a retirement community, which is not a problem to be a retirement community, but to be a well-rounded community that has people from all age groups, great churches for the kids to go to, great schools for the children to go to. I think we have all the makings. We're staged and ready to move to that next place.
One of the other questions that we have is, what would you do to bring affordable housing to Brady? Chris?
Real estate. Boy, it's a tough time to buy a house right now, isn't it? I mean, we were talking about interest rates of 8%. Brady has seen the prices of houses go like this. I can't tell you the value of my house now versus what I bought it just 3 years ago. It's almost doubled of the value. Could the average Brady citizen afford double of what I paid for it? Likely not. So how do we solve that? There's a way to do affordable housing in ways that doesn't make it look like it's something out of West Virginia or Appalachia or something like that. There's ways to do it. One of those ways might be like looking at not necessarily these are modular type homes, even upper scale mobile home parks, those types of things, and zoned areas. So that's one way to do affordable housing. Another way to do it would be to kind of fight your tax increases on your property taxes. You know, I every year I'm on the horn with the tax assessment office going, how is my home worth this? How is my home worth this? Well, show us this, show us this, show us, send in all the paperwork, get it reduced. No one should have to pay $500,000 for a home in Brady right now unless they are building a mansion. And certainly nobody, most citizens, can't afford a $500,000 home. What would be affordable would for them to be, number one, get lower interest rates. Number two, have these modular-type homes and or zoned mobile home parks where they can have nice, affordable housing. So when we talk about doing that, there's multiple ways to combat that. Who we vote for in November, hopefully we'll see some interest rates drop down from that as well, to where the housing becomes more affordable for everybody, and people will be willing to even remodel their home and make it better. But who wants to refinance at 8.5% right now? So that's where I stand on affordable housing here in Brady.
I was kind of hoping that question to come up tonight, because before I ever thought about being on the council, you know, I began to look at ways that I could invest my money here and get a return on it without having to punch a time clock. And so I've driven all over town, and I see the condition of a lot of the properties we already have that, if given some care, could be turned into, you know, decent properties again. So I talked to Linda about it, and I think in this next year, I'm going to probably buy three or four of those houses that are on good lots that still have water and sewer, that have good bones that we can go in and we can take out the inside of it, basically gut it, put $100,000 in it. Maybe I can buy it for $30,000 or $40,000, put $100,000 in it, and sell it for $185,000, which is a price point that people can afford, even at 8% interest. Now, you know, I'm one of those that believes that after this next election, that interest rates are going to start coming down again. But let's just say they don't. You're right. The taxes on a $500,000 house is a lot of money, even here in Brady, Texas. It's even more in Midland, Texas. So I want to do that. I want to help Brady look better by taking some of these better houses that haven't fallen in on themselves yet, where we could go in and we could clean up the landscape in it, put some nice landscape in there, trim out the trees, redo the insides with medium to nice finishes on the inside, and then sell them. Now, I don't want to get into the rental business. I think we could use local companies, banks, to finance those type of houses. The other plan that I want to do in my five-year plan, this is on a personal level, is I want to build a subdivision here. It's too early because right now, the kind of houses I want to build and where I want to build them, there's not a market for them here yet. We're going to have to, it's one of these things, going to have to get the egg first, and that egg is to get economic development going so that we bring people in that can afford the higher price houses in little different neighborhoods. So I'd like to build 20 to 30 houses in the $200,000 range to about $450,000 range, and do it in a community that, you know, I build three spec houses, turn those houses over to the local realtors, let each one list one, and then I'll make my money back on the lots when we sell the lots, economic development is bringing new people in that are going to need houses, and they'll want some nicer houses, so we'll have those as well. And then for the folks that are working, doing the work for these executives that we hope can move in here, they can buy the houses that are $185 to $250, or, you know, maybe do some rentals or something. I really don't want to do rentals, but I think that's how we change our neighborhood in a way that it looks better. We get these properties back on the tax roll, because a lot of them are not, the taxes aren't being paid on them. They're certainly not taking care of them. Typically, if the house is dilapidated looking, nobody's paying the taxes either. I hate to see the city go in and take over those properties and tear the houses down, but if that's what we have to do to help Brady look better, then that's what we have to do. These are hard choices that we have to make, and it's time to make those choices and move forward.
Okay. And the last question is, based on your education, work, experience, personality, what do you think would be your strongest suit in supporting the city of Brady?
Oh, man. Oh, I thought we were going to be winding this down. I don't know if I can answer that in 5 seconds, but I have been blessed in my life to work for some of the most intelligent people that there are in business. And I grew up farming and ranching with my dad and his family. And, you know, I got a good basis of life and how life works, from hard work, earning your money, saving your money, investing your money where you get a return on it. My work ethic, even at I'm 71 years old, even at my age, I can probably outwork most of the people I know that are in their 30s and 40s. I'm very high energy, and I'm extremely motivated, and I have a great deal of vision that I know how to bring to reality. And I really believe there's a reason why God brought me to Brady, and I'm thankful that He chose me to do it, because I'm happier in my life than I've ever been. My wife and I are living our best life. And I feel like my personality is one of leadership. I know how to take people that have either lost their vision, never had a vision, or are so negative that they can't say anything positive, and spend some time with them and get them turned around where they get a vision. You know, you give them knowledge. The Bible says that people die and perish for their lack of vision and their lack of knowledge. Well, how do they get it if somebody's not going to teach it to them? I want to be a mentor to a lot of the younger people in this town, the younger businessmen and women. I want to mentor them. I want to help them to see all that they can be and what they could be in this community for their family and for the families of others. You know, the Place One term is a 4-year term. And there's a lot to do in these first 4 years. And I hope to stay in it as long as my wife doesn't have to leave me off the stage like Jill has to do Joe sometimes. If I can still be under my own mobility and power, I want to stay involved in the community and continue this work that I'm trying to get started now. So where are my strengths? My personality is strong, but I'm also able to listen to people. And what, you know, I'm not a bully. I listen. If you can give me a compelling reason why what I think will work won't work, I'll listen to you, and then let's find a way that we can make it work so that we don't lose that. We just find another way to get it accomplished. So.
Just to basically repeat the question again, it's based on your education, work experience, personality. What do you think would be your strongest suit in supporting the city of Brady?
Teamwork, working well with others, working well with other teams, collaborating with other teams. It's what I do on a daily basis. I work across about 8 different departments in the organization that I am right now. I work with sales. I work with marketing. I work with IT. I work with business intelligence. I work with development, and I work with our operations department and product departments and more. We all collaborate together and bring the best of our ideas together. And we work together to solve a common problem. So far this year, 30% increase from the previous year. We do that as a team. We listen to one another, give our best to one another, and work hard to get there. The best part about all this collaboration is that seeing the success that it brings. We don't just get there by kicking the can down the road. We get up there every morning, talk about what needs to be done, and we execute and get it done. Being a part of that team is very rewarding. To be able to say, hey, look what we did as a team. And when I say as a team, I mean the City Council, the Chamber of Commerce, Small Business Development, Board of Economic Development here, entrepreneurs, individuals, everybody is on this team in the city of Brady. We all need to stop and listen and take those ideas that we have and put them into action. I'm good at listening, and I'm good at organization, and I'm good at execution. That's what the city of Brady needs.
Thank you very much. That concludes the comments and the questions for our two candidates for City Council, Chris Martin and Terry Phillips. I'm going to give the outgoing city member of City Council, Larry Lamb, who's placed they're running for, and he chose not to run for re-election, an opportunity to just say a few words as you get ready to depart the council, having served your term.
Thank you, Liam. Appreciate that and the opportunity to say a couple of things here, and it will be short. First, I just want to thank the citizens for putting me in this position to run the last 4 years to work with the city and the fellow council members. And I remember when I came on board, I was encouraged by quite a few of the citizens to do so and had their support all the way through. So I think all the council people get a lot of support from our town, and it's greatly appreciated. I know that during the term, people would come up and say, well, how's City Council? They kind of roll their eyes a little bit, expecting some kind of doom and gloom. Well, there was no doom and gloom. It was very enjoyable to be a council member of this city. And I think we have a wonderful staff that works for our city. They do a great job. And good fellow council members to work with as well. And in hindsight, you look at the last four years, you wonder, week to week, what you're getting done, but over the last 4 years, the city of Brady has done a lot, and it's greatly appreciated. When you do go off of council, you kind of worry about replacements and so on and so forth, but I was very pleased and very surprised that two people stepped up to take the spot, and I would encourage all citizens to get involved in this city, because it is a great city. It's a great place to live, and thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that.
And I think everybody would agree. I want to thank you for your service. It's a challenge, and it's hard to. We appreciate what you've done. On the ballot on the early election, on the election, the local election. Will be, I think it's four, is there four or five questions for the citizens of Brady to decide on. Proposed amendments to the charter, coming out of the Charter Review Commission study of that, and also one about the status of the gas company. So Tony Groves had indicated an interest in commenting and addressing the charter review issues that are there. And so that's going to be on the ballot. Tony?
Well, let me start with I'm impressed. If you're not impressed by the two people that run for council, you're not listening, because they both got great backgrounds. I offer this thought to you. We've only got one council position to fill. Don't be disheartened if you're not selected to be that person this year. Next year, there are two council positions that come open. Stick with it and contribute in the meantime, and then run for council next time. Like I said, I'm really impressed. Before I talk about the election items, I offer a couple of things. I came back here in 2011 to take care of my folks, and wound up going to a council meeting in 2013, and then wound up with the second mayor in a row being recalled, running for mayor, because somebody said, why don't you run for mayor? So I decided to give it a try, and that was unopposed on that opportunity also. One of the things that I got to do relatively early on was a social studies teacher at the high school asked me to come and talk to his social studies classes. And I started off four classes to talk to. And I started off with the question to the kids that were in the room, and I said, what does Ray need more than anything else? And the first two classes overwhelmingly said, a bowling alley. Now, that may sound a little bit strange to you, but the bowling alley, there was a bowling alley in Brady. It's now a vehicle repair place. That building is still there. I bowled there as a kid when I used to come here and visit my relatives that lived in Brady. What they were looking for was a place that had an activity that they could be involved in, as we had a discussion about that, and a place where they could socialize. If you know bowling alleys like I do, being in the military for a lot of years, bowling alleys were a place that you went to get a burger, and maybe you bowled and maybe you didn't. You were probably a part of the league, but the rest of the time it was a social event center. We don't have that for the teenagers. We had it in a comprehensive plan at one point, and it just never got there in the things that we were doing. But the discussion with the kids, they were paying attention. They were good on the point in all four classes that I talked to. Comprehensive plan. When I got here, they were just producing a comprehensive plan for 2013. As the background for that comprehensive plan came along, we had an interim city manager, Dale Brown, that was very experienced, and he walked in and said, okay, I'm filling in while you're looking for your permanent city manager. Show me your comprehensive plan. And the city said, my what? So they searched for it, and they had a great deal of trouble finding a comprehensive plan. They found it in the bottom of a drawer in a filing cabinet, hanging drawer, where all the other things were hanging up, and they found it laying in the bottom. And it said 1978 comprehensive plan. Well, the folks looked at it and said, well, a comprehensive plan is a 30-year plan. It's only 2013, so we're not that far out of the park. It's only about 35 years old.
and there was some education that went along with that, that a comprehensive plan gets revitalized about every 5 to 10 years if you're using it. And the city manager that we hired, Kim Orr, did a great job of going through those items that were listed and taking them off one at a time after that in the years that, that she was here, and they worked on it hard. The city's in the process of hiring a company to do a new comprehensive plan right now. Haven't picked the company, as I understand it, but that'll be really important for folks to participate in and for folks to use that as a plan for what they're going to do. It will be very important to have that focus. Something that hasn't been mentioned, that over the years when I was mayor, we had lots of people come to Brady that wanted to develop the area. They had plans about housing developments. They had plans about a Love's, or in some dream of Bucky's, and different things that might be in a place where five highways came together right in the middle of Texas. That we have some great opportunity to do that. But every time we looked at what folks wanted to do, the drawback was water pressure. Water. Get the radionuclides out of the water to make the government happy, but make the pipes bigger to make the people happy so you don't have to coordinate with your neighbors to take a shower, okay? And there are some neighborhoods that experience that. And we are on the verge, and we have some parts of the city that are now getting the best water and getting better water pressure. But come September, I'm told by the water folks that we're going to have pressure in the ballpark of 55 to 60 PSI instead of 25 in all across the city. That opens, especially the south, to development that should be there, and both of y'all talked about taking advantage of those things and doing that. We have a newer system that comes on a little bit sooner than that. We were on the verge of being shut down as a city at one point because our 50-year-old wastewater treatment plan was about to collapse. And so we've gotten that fixed. Those two major things, Texas Water Development Board, critical grants, no interest loans, forgiveness loans, all those things to the tune of, you know, $45 million roughly coming to the city have helped all of that stuff. That's important stuff for people to do. Keep those things in mind as you're going through that. The Interstate 14 is going to come by eventually. The TxDOT folks called it a multi-generational goal, which means your grandchildren may see it as it runs from the East Coast to the West Coast. But those things are happening out there. Good to participate in those things. Now, let's talk about the general election things. Five things. The first four deal with the city charter. The first one looks at and says we want to eliminate the repetitive things that's in the charter. There are about 30 of those things, and when you look at the document, and it takes some studying to go through it. The second one, and it says amendment to remove those repetitive things. Sounds like a good idea, but there are a lot of things that are repetitive that place emphasis for the city on things like council members. Individually, as a council member, you're not allowed to give direction to city employees. The city council gives direction to the city manager, and in turn, that goes to the city employees. But if that's removed, you have to go to some Texas document, some state document that says that's the way a charter city works. Bear that in mind. It doesn't supersede, it repeats what the state law says. No, that's the second part. The second part that's in conflict, the second part of the election, Proposition B, is things that conflict with state law. Okay? Some 37 things in our charter conflict with state law and absolutely need to be removed from the disagreements that's there. That's what I'm saying, is those things that conflict with state law. In Proposition B, in Part B of the proposition, need to be. Okay, thank you. Proposition C is that the amendments to the charter revising different parts for requirements of initiative referendum recall and a percentage of other things, but these are this is one specific one in Proposition C. Proposition C, I'm sorry, that says to change the number of votes required to recall an elected official. Right now, it says 20% of the people who voted in the last election, or 250 people on recall, can recall that person. 20% of the last election is 88 people, okay? 442 people voted. The default is, if that's a smaller number, you go to 250. I'm saying it backwards. Let me read it to you and make it. Percentage of those who voted in the last election to a percentage of the number of qualified voters to vote in the last general election. From a percentage of those who voted in the last election to a percentage of those qualified voters voting in the last election. The difference there is, if you go on qualified voters, that number is 476. So if you change it to 15% of the qualified voters, it takes 476 currently, with 3,195 people registered to vote, to recall that person, as opposed to 250 if you leave it the way it is. So it sounds like you're making the number smaller at 15%, but it's 15% of a much bigger number. Proposition D is amendment that says no person may resign from the current city council seat and run in an election during their expired term. Okay? What I did was, as mayor, I resigned in my current term and laid out for 15 months. Well, I ran for a different council position and was not elected. But by being out during that time, I reset the term limit so that I could run for mayor again, even though I had been elected altogether four times, three times per full term. So what's interesting is it says current, a current city council seat. The way the charter is written, the mayor is not occupying his city council seat. So if that was aimed at keeping the mayor from doing what I did, it won't work, but it will work for a council member to not do that. Proposition E is, shall an ordinance be enacted authorizing the sale of real property with improvements owned, held, or claimed by the city as the natural gas utility distribution system. So they're asking for permission to sell the natural gas, which does not make any money for the city. It breaks even in the budget. Required repairs to the existing gas system are cost prohibitive, just about. We'll say it, in my opinion, in the opinion of Danny, the guy who runs it, the city can't afford to fix it, so it only makes sense to sell it. That will free up the reserves of the city for the natural gas to do different things with it. My plan is, for whatever it's worth, I will not vote to remove the repetitive things, but I will vote vote for the changes to correct the things that are there. I will not vote for the change to make it harder to fire somebody. I really don't have a position on D. And E, I will vote for selling the gas department. I think we should allow the current mayor to have an opportunity to speak since he disagrees with some of the stuff that I said. Those are my opinions for whatever they're worth. It takes some effort to go through and look at the charter and see what's happening to it when you make these changes. It is done under the focus of the municipal lawyers that we hire, so there's no question in my mind that they know what they're doing, and they're doing the appropriate things by giving you the opportunity to vote on those things. Any questions? Thank you.
So I appreciate everybody being here this evening. Appreciate the comments, Tony Groves, Larry Land, our two candidates for City Council, Chris Martin and Terry Phillips. And we'll remind everyone that early voting starts next Monday, lasts for a week, and Election Day is September 4th, and get the opportunity to vote on the for City Council and for the Charter Review amendments as well. So this program, we recorded this tonight, and we'll be replaying it on 1490 KNEL AM one day next week. It will be available as a podcast at KNEL's website, KNELradio.com. and also hopefully Facebook worked. And we'll see how that turned out. But perhaps it'll be there and you can take a look at that as well. But the recording of it will be available. So we encourage you to take a listen again when we air it next week. And we'll invite everybody to go vote and be sure and vote and before the election. For everybody at CanEl, we appreciate it. And that will conclude our candidate forum tonight here on CanEl. Good night.
You can now hear the rebroadcast of some of your favorite live programs on KNEL Podcast. KNEL has a variety of podcasts to choose from, including news, sports, talk radio, faith, and inspiration. For a list of KNEL podcasts, visit KNEL Radio homepage and look for podcast. Click on the podcast of your choice and listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio News, KNEL Sports, Hillbilly Hits, At Home with Debbie Rule, and The Network Live. KNEL, making a difference with podcasts just for you.